the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 901. A godliness which feeds on form and lip devotion barren cheer will satisfy an earthly worm who learns to think and call it prayer, contented with the husky part, a moving lip and silent heart. Hymn 901. Chronicles, chapter 21. The first book of Chronicles, chapter 21. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." And Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But, my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew swords. And Judah was 430,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, "I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee." So Gad came to David and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore, advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me." And David said unto Gad, "I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, "It is enough, stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, "Is it not that I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord, my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued." Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his 4 sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor, and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Ornan said unto David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all." And King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering, were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
To bow before thee, to seek thee now, that thou wilt grant true prayer in our hearts, and as we have come up for worship, that each heart may have its eyes up unto thee, from whence alone cometh our help, for our help cometh alone from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And we have proved all other helps are vain beside. Lord, we pray, wilt thou look down upon us and have mercy upon us, for we come before thee, Lord, as sinners who cannot do one good thing in thy sight and are not worthy to come into thy presence. And thou art in heaven, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and we are upon the earth, earthy. Therefore let our words be few. O Lord, but we thank thee that thou dost hear the sigh and the groan, and thou knowest the hearts of all men, the deep desires of the heart, that cannot be expressed in words. But oh, that thou wouldest have mercy upon us and save us from the pit of despair, that thou wouldst not leave us to perish in our sins. Lord, we cannot keep from sinning, no, not for a moment. We fall before every temptation of the wicked one, unless thy grace prevent. And so, Lord, we look unto thee. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth in us. O, arise for our help. When the enemy comes in like a flood, wilt thou lift up a standard against him? Lord, wilt thou speak to our souls? We have waited for thee, O Lord, and we continue to wait. For there is nothing like thy voice heard in the song, It is as the sips of living water, as David longed for the water by the well, the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So we long for a sip of that living water when thou dost draw near and speak to the soul and turn darkness into day and death into life and raise us to a hope and enable us to look unto thee and say, my Lord and my God. O Lord, but those times seem so few and far between, and we mourn because of the sins which have separated between us and our God. And how can we come unto thee? Only as the blood of Jesus Christ makes that way. And so we plead, Lord, sprinkle us with that precious blood of atonement. Reveal a living, a dying Christ to us, that he has satisfied the law for us and died to save us from our sin's deserts, and that now he has ascended up into heaven to make intercession for us. O Lord, we long to know this Jesus, that he may be revealed to us by the dear Holy Spirit of truth, and that we may cling and cleave to him as our only hope of life. Do remember each soul gathered here this morning, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, for none of us is too young to die. But Lord, thy work is a sovereign work of grace, and none can say unto thee, what doest thou? Oh, we do pray that thy grace may be made manifest in every soul, that thou wilt begin and put life divine within. Ye must be born again, that thou wilt lead us to our own lost and ruined condition. Help us to look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power, to find that he is our hope, that he has condescended to come down to earth. He left the bright realms of bliss. He came in the form of a servant. He humbled himself to the death of the cross, and that it was for us. Oh, then bless each soul with a hope. Oh, do lead us by thy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest, we mourn, often feeling to be out of the secret. Have we sinned away the day of grace? Shall we nevermore hear thy lovely voice? Hast thou in anger shut up thy tender mercies? Wilt thou be favourable no more? O Lord, we long for thee to come, and that thou wilt reign in our hearts, that thou wilt keep us from evil, that it may not grieve us, that thou wilt stay the hand of Satan, and that we may be enabled to rejoice, that we may have our sorrow turned into joy, because thou hast done it all from first to last. We ask that thou wilt remember us in this service. Lord, thou knowest the prayers that have ascended unto thee. We pray that thou wilt send answers of peace, that thou wilt speak through the words of one, those spoken beforehand, Lord, may there be fresh life and power given to that word by the dear Holy Spirit of truth, and answer the petitions of each one that has come up seeking, is there no word from the Lord? We pray that thou wilt help our brother. We pray that his choice of a sermon may prove to be thy choice. Oh, do guide him in this and in all things. And Lord, may thy blessing rest in this church and congregation. May there be a reviving again, a looking unto Jesus, a seeking first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, our heart's affection set on things above and not on things on the earth. And we thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done for us as a church of people. We thank thee for bringing the little ones in amongst us. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt raise them up in after time to be pillars in this house of prayer. But oh, we do pray, wilt thou bring in also those who have no thought of thee, those who walk by the doors of this place and never enter in, because the Spirit of God has never yet touched their heart. But may we prove that there are in this village and in these surroundings those whom thou hast ordained unto life, though they may mock thee, though they have no thought of eternal life and where they will spend eternity. Lord, the work is thine. It is a work of sovereign grace. Oh, we do pray that we may see it, and that we may prove that thou art with us here, that thy Spirit yet abideth among us, and that thou art working in the hearts of many, and that in after time it may be known that thou hast been here, and that the word was with power, and that as it has been to the joy and comfort of their hearts. We pray, Lord, for the one we hope to hear this evening. Oh, we do pray that thy Spirit may endue him with power from on high, and that the word that he speaks may have free course and be glorified as the word of the Lord in our midst. Oh, Lord, touch cases, hear prayer, send answers. We remember those who cannot gather with us. We pray that thou wilt be with them where they are. And we especially bear tenderly before thee our dear elderly ones, now in old age and weakness, Lord. Oh, do prepare them for that great eternity which lies before them. Grant them the witness of the Holy Ghost, that they are born of God, that thou hast pardoned all their iniquity, for thou hast put them among those whom thou hast reserved the election of grace. O Lord, help us now to pray for our nation, that thou wilt not leave us, Lord, for we are in the midst of a wicked nation. And Lord, we mourn that our prayers in this regard are not heard. O Lord, they add sin to sin, and wickedness runs down our streets. O, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt reign, for there is nothing too hard for thee. We look to thee, Lord, in all the things, even now, that are proposed for our statute book, wilt thou overturn, put forth thy mighty hand in our behalf. Lord, we remember thy goodness toward us in past times, and as a nation, as well as individuals, we have requited the evil for good. Lord, pardon. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy, and do appear for our help. Remember those who have come up mourning into the sanctuary, whose hearts are rent on account of their sin, and longing for thy appearing, and but cannot believe that it can be possible. They are so bad. Lord, remember such, and show forth thy free grace in them, and enable them to come and tell in after time what thou hast done for their soul. Lord, pardon all after this. Receive us graciously as we plead the all-prevailing name, our only hope, Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. Amen.
Hymn 125. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. 125.
Thank you.
I will try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Popham, and you will find the words of the text in the chapter we read, the first book of Chronicles, chapter 21 and verse 28. 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, verse 28. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. This word is cast in a scene of extraordinary sadness. The nation, smitten by the hand of God, the pestilence had smitten and cast into death 70,000 men. God will be noticed. And although when the judgments of God are abroad in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will not learn righteousness, yet, says this great God, they shall fear, they shall notice. You will find it. If you are deaf to one stroke, another will speak to you if you belong to the Lord. Satan, we are told, provoked David to number Israel. In the second book of Samuel, the account of this solemn circumstance is given, and there we are told that the Lord was angry with Israel, and he, Satan, moved David to number Israel. No sin, no punishment. If you are clean, God won't deal with you as if you were unclean. It will be a mercy for us to have an eye to see and a heart to feel when the hand of God is upon us in any way. Remember that it is not for nothing God frowns. It is not for nothing that he shows himself angry with either a person or a community or a nation. And in the midst of this desolation, think of it, the awfulness of it, the floods of tears that were being shed by families at this time, when a sense of the awfulness of divine majesty was upon the hearts of the people. Then David, the instrument of the sin, David was brought to this point: I have sinned. A grand point to arrive at by divine grace. Different from the wicked person of whom Solomon speaks, who, having done wickedly, says it is naught, and he wipes his mouth and says, what have I done? Mark God's dealings with you, my friends. They are not for nothing. And David saw. God gave him a sight of the destroying angel. And he saw him with a drawn sword standing over Jerusalem to destroy it. The same extraordinary sight may not be given to you or to me, but we may see by faith the angel of the Lord and his sword. He is not a favoured man who does not see God in judgment. Do not think you are well if you miss this sight. You have reason to bemoan your condition if you do not see the hand of God in judgment when judgment is about you. If there is no judgment, then there will be no sight given. But if there be judgment, and God should give sight to see it, and to see him, that is mercy. David saw this performance. Can you follow him in this his confession? And as David was so looking and so confessing before God, then came a word to him. Tell him, said God by Gad the seer, tell him to go up to the threshing floor of Ornan and sacrifice there. Here came mercy, mercy's angel form, mercy's loud, soft, beautiful voice, mercy's provision, sacrifice. And David went out as he was commanded, and built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. Is there anything like this in gracious experience? Yes. Every sacrifice shall be salted with fire. And when you, any of you and all of you, for whom God may give a sight and sense of deserved, but not full judgment, only in measure, and gives us too a sight of his goodness in Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes down upon us to enable us to cleave to Christ crucified, and bears witness with our spirits as to the efficacy, the sufficiency, the blessedness of that everlasting atonement, then there is the fire of God upon the altar. And at this time we have the text. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. What I would say, if the Lord will help me to say it properly to you, is this, that there is a place, a reason, why any plague and all plagues that befall us, though deserved by us, may be stayed. A smitten people, smitten individuals, smitten churches, shall know what it is to get an answer, as David got, though in another manner, by which they will know that their confessions and their prayers have been heard and answered, and then they will worship there. And if this that I would that I do propose to you now be open to faith, it may be an instruction on our hearts for our encouragement and for the glory of God. It is difficult, rather impossible, without the Spirit, for any man to say the thing that is right of God. How I have coveted for years at different times to have God's testimony in my heart and about me that he gave to Job, he only knows, to say the thing which is right of God. Think of it. If you regard it, absolutely all you can say of God is that the Apostle Paul says, unto the immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. If you regard it relatively, if you regard it as related to some particular judgment and some particular mercy, then you may be sweetly able to say the thing that is right of him. David said the thing that was right of God when he confessed sin. Hold to confession. Hold fast to that. If you go to your grave with repentance, you will go well to your grave. Every Christian man is a confessing man. He must be. Seeing that the Apostle says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. As he says in another place in his holy word, there is no man that doeth good and sinneth not. We must be always confessing sin. Gloomy? I wish I were filled with gloom all my days, for I find that when liberty to confess sin is granted, there is a sweetness about it, there is a sacredness, a softness, and there is an acceptability in it, and men blessed with grace know that. Go on, my friends, confessing. Go on confessing all your sins. Well, now let us look at this place. I do not want to be digressing, at this one thing. David saw at that time a place, an offering, an acceptance. There he worshipped. What is this in the gospel? It is nothing less than the blessed, adorable person and finished work of the Lord Jesus. The plague of sin, The plagues of divine judgment, of chastisement, will never be stayed in any person except here. This is the place, this is the offering, Jesus Christ. Living tongues are dumb at best, we must die to speak of Christ. And yet the scriptures reveal him. And as the Spirit reveals the scriptures which reveal him to any person who is made a minister, that minister will be able at least to whisper some things, and he may be brought to a contentment to preach, as of the ability God giveth, even though the ability hardly will amount to one talent, Jesus Christ. What a person, the maker of all things, the eternal God, I am that I am, inconceivably glorious, eternal, with no possibility of increase, with no possibility of decrease in his divine nature and person. And this divine person stooped infinitely and came from the delightful, the eternal bosom of his Father and entered the womb of the Virgin Mary, into that nature which was there begotten miraculously by the Holy Ghost. This is Jesus Christ. Your faith, if you have faith in him, will see more than any man can ever see of beauty, of mercy, of love, of infinitude, of compassion, of pity, of suitableness. You will see more than any creature could ever utter, more than you will be able to yourself to utter. Here is the child born and the son given, having these names: Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of whose peace and government there shall be no end. And he is sent of his Father, sent as the servant of his Father, and he, being sent, freely, voluntarily comes and says to his Father, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And he, this apostle and high priest of our profession, came into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, and put his neck under that yoke, and put his whole life into that service, and every thought that he had was given to that service. Every step he took was in that service, and every prayer he offered was in that service, and every act of obedience given was in that service to which his Father called him. And also in that priesthood in which he was made a priest, a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Did you ever see this person? His name is named on us as a congregation. But did we as a congregation individually ever see this person? Oh, of course we have seen him in the scripture. I know that. I did not ask it in that sense. Did you ever see this person? How can you love him if you do not see him at any time? This person stood in the breach made by men, by the church. This person, with the yoke of the law on him, obeyed and he made an end of sin. He finished transgression and he brought in an everlasting righteousness. And having finished the work his Father gave him to do and ascended into heaven, there he is now, seated at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. There, our great High Priest, he is ever living to make intercession for us. Now this is the only place, the only person, where and by whom and in whom any plague and all plagues can be stayed with respect to the Church of Christ. May we be enabled to fix our gaze here. It is necessary here to look at the plagues, the pestilence of sin. A smitten sinner, smitten in his conscience, smitten it may be in some providence, sensible of his alienation from God, sensible that only God can make him right, that only God can put his sin away and make him fit to be the guest of God, sensible of this, seeing the sword as deserved, feeling it in its authority, its just claim, its just piercing, this person, no matter how that he may be in a profession, comes to this. This plague in my nature, this plague in my conscience, this plague, it may be on my person, the fruit of sin. This plague can only be stayed, stopped, removed in this place. And does not this point out to us the only way of salvation? If we get to heaven, we shall get there pleading this from the beginning of prayer to the end of prayer, from the first motion of faith to the last motion of faith, from the first glimpse to the last more clear vision of faith. There will be this one thing that God will have us plead before him, the Lord Jesus. This plague will plague every saint as long as he lives, spreading out sometimes like a leprosy to make him feel more and more loathsome. Then the Spirit will fix his gaze on this one thing, this one person, who offered himself without spot to God and with respect to all the judgments of God on persons, on churches, there is just this same thing. A smitten person, a smitten church, can never be healed apart from this blessed offering upon which comes a fire from heaven to sanctify and consume. If you take these two things, what you feel in your own conscience, the plague there, and if you take what you may be suffering, may have suffered, and may yet suffer, in respect to the dealings of God with you, you will find no ease for your conscience, no rest for your faith, no confidence as to the issue, but as you are brought to this one place, it therefore is worthy of all the attention we may be able to give it. The healing of a person, the healing of a church. And it is my person, my purpose, as the Lord may help me to speak in his name, that none of you who may live to see darker days than this day and heavier things than are now being experienced shall say to me, you did not warn us. I will, God helping me, warn you of a plague, tell you of plagues that may be coming, and then of the only way by which plagues may be stayed. They may be in your own souls, they may be in your persons, they may be in a church, they may be stayed. Mind this. And this place of offering was extraordinary, which points to Christ's suffering without the camp. For the tabernacle of the Lord which Moses made in the wilderness and the altar of burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeah, where in ordinary circumstances David ought to have gone. In ordinary circumstances it was his duty to go there. But now there was this extraordinary state, and God met it. And there, where the future temple was to stand, there God would have David offer sacrifice. And it may be also, as I have hinted, that the Lord pointed out that the Lord Jesus suffered, not in the way that men would expect, but in the way ordered. He suffered without the camp, without the gate of Jerusalem. Now the healing. This is a great thing, a healed soul. Think of it. What is a soul healed, a soul forgiven, having forgiven you all trespasses? That is the point at which every child of God aims, that which he above all other things desires. Heal me, O Lord, for I have sinned. My brethren, however safe you may be with respect to the covenant and eternal union, You will never be sound in your soul's experience until you are brought to this. Many evidences you may have, many good times, sweet helps and seasons, but this is the one thing, to be healed in your soul by the application to you of Jesus Christ and his perfect work. David perceived at this time that the Lord had answered him, which says this, there is a definiteness in experience. Much of your experience may be nebulous, not clear to yourself, many of your feelings not clear, many of your ways not clear, many of your thoughts very evil. But there is a point to which, as you may be led by the Spirit, you are looking to attain, which is the chief desire of your souls, namely, to know that God has answered you. David perceived that God had answered him. Can you come to this? Some may say no. What then? Wait till you can. That is to say, wait till God brings you to it. The Lord told David to go to the threshing floor. He may tell you to go to his dear son, Jesus Christ. He may tell you in your heart of the fountain open for sin and uncleanness, and how there is no healing but in that fountain. Go to that fountain. He may show you the righteousness of Christ and say there is no justification but in that robe. Come for that robe. And as you are enabled to obey, the day will come when it will be said of you, said by you, now I know that God has answered me. I know he has answered me. I have got it in my own soul. I have got it. Ah, it is the grandest moment of a person's life, whether it be at the first time or afterward, when again and again the forgiveness of sins is experienced, and the sinner says, now I know it. I have got it in my conscience. He perceived, he saw that God had answered him. Oh, it would be good if every saint here could say, now I know the Lord has answered me. He has given me what I desired, the forgiveness of my sins. If any saints here are satisfied in any kind of way short of this, I will say to thee now, you have got a rude awakening awaiting you. You have got some trouble coming, something that will pierce you, something that will make you say you never got that one thing, and you rested satisfied more or less without it. You again said, I have not got it, but you had not energy to seek it. You could not rise from your bed and seek the Lord in the darkness of the night, had not courage to bear any stripping that might be offered to you, or seeming insult in the dark night that might be apparently offered to you by the watchman. But you just said, now I am easy. I said, there is a rude awakening for you if you are satisfied with your bands. If you can just cover them over with this or with that seeming help, it looks a very evil case for you. May the Lord move you to seek him. Some plague may come and tell you what danger you are in. Some plague may fall on you and you'll be brought to say, but this is the sword of the Lord, and I have been talking all these years about his grace. I have been talking about love and have not felt it. I have been talking about Christ and have not received him. It will be a good plague that brings you to that point when you hear the Lord say, now go to Christ, he will put you right. The plague will be stayed in his blood, and the evil will be overcome when you receive him into your heart. David saw at that time. Do not dissect the trouble from this answer. They are related. It was a time of trouble, and then it was that God answered the praying man. If you have got trouble in your conscience, and God says to you by that, now you are wrong in this or in that thing, you are not straight with my revealed will in this or in that thing, go to Shiloh, go to the cross, then it will be good. David sacrificed there. Continued, that is to say, he continued in the floor, the threshing floor, continued to offer burnt offerings, and you in that one offering, satisfied and saved, will continue to worship and pray and praise and bless God for his unspeakable mercy. Now that particular point I would keep before you. I verily believe that the day is coming, I may not see it, but some of you will. The day is coming when it will be a great and solemn test how a man stands toward Jesus Christ. And the plague will come on the nation and the nations of the world. And when all the churches shall know that, I search the heart, I try the reins. The churches shall know it. Judgment will begin at the house of God. It is a trembling consideration to me. It shakes me at times. How do you stand? And when I see that scripture, as I do at times, some of them of understanding shall fall, that they may be tried and purged and made white. Very solemn. It brings me before God, and I think of you. How do you stand? Is the profession easy? Well, it looks like it. Nobody contradicts you today. Nothing attaches of evil, apparently, to our coming here. But what when it is otherwise? How should we stand? Look well to this then. See if you can get an answer from God to put you straight. Unite you closely. Unite you to the dear Lord Jesus Christ. If you are with him, all the fighting against you won't hurt you in the end, for the Lamb shall overcome them. But if you are not straight here, if you are lacking here, if that comfortable profession you have made for years should fail you here, if your talk about grace should only prove to have been talk, if your seeming attachment to the Lord Jesus was never in the light of the Holy Ghost, what then? It is a very solemn consideration for me, and should be to you. And I desire by the help of the Lord to press it on your attention. For the day is coming when the Son of Man will come in awful judgment, and then will he find faith on the earth. How many in this congregation will he find going up to this sacrifice and cleaving to that? How many will he find hanging about his door, finding what Jeremiah says to be blessedly true? A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Finding also what is in the Psalms to be true, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No pestilence enters here. Your dwelling may be invaded by trouble, infested by some pestilence, or death may be shot into it by some arrow. But if you have got this secret place, this shadow, no harm will reach you. That is a beautiful word in that psalm. No plague, no smiting of God, no anger of God, no judgment of God shall enter thy dwelling. The dwelling is in the first verse. Blessed is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, and abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. And the safe place is in the previous psalm. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. This is where saints are to live for ever and ever. Go to this threshing floor. You will stand well if you go there. Yes, you will stand well if you go there, and you will find a fire coming down from heaven, and find the answer of God in your soul, and feel then, now the Lord is on my side. Jesus is your God, and you will say, this God is my God for ever and ever. He will be my guide even unto death. My brethren, what is religion worth if there is no union with the Lord Jesus and no application of his atoning blood? What is it? I think it is a weariness to the flesh. But oh, this is life, and this is sweetness, this is beauty, This is everything, a sinner having some blessed contact by faith with the Almighty Jesus, a sinner leaning on the arm of his beloved, a sinner perceiving the plague of sin stayed in his conscience and stayed in his affections and stopped and moved for the time. Well, I wish the Lord may give us an answer. Look for answers. David saw at that time. Troublesome was the time, painful, shameful, weakening, confusing was the time. Ah, that tries people. What, talk about religion, having all that trouble. When God touches a man by his spirit and fire, even if the man's circumstances be full of goodness and with no apparent trouble, he withers, he dies. I know it is so. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Now if God should go on doing that and never hint at mercy, well, the end is everlasting woe. But if the Spirit does it savingly, there is a stop put to that. There is a change brought, and the trouble leads the man to ease and comfort and peace divine through the blood of the everlasting covenant, and God and this sinner come together. I do not want to speak too familiarly or use words that would convey anything like likeness in spirit, but I would say it reverently. God and this sinner come together, and they are friendly. The Lord speaks friendly to the heart, and the sinner reverently says, "This is my God." The Lord receives the sinner, and the sinner embraces the Lord. Jesus smiles on the sinner, and the sinner melts into happy contrition and rises into the sweetest comfort and joy. At that time of trouble and plague and appearance of divine anger, David saw that God had answered him by fire coming from heaven upon the altar. Mind the fire, the warm, comfortable fire of acceptance in your conscience by the witness of the Holy Spirit. When you get that, you will say, "This has come from heaven. This is the witness of the Spirit with my spirit. This is the testimony of God in my conscience, and I know that things are right between God and my soul." Try to get near, my dear friends, you who have prayer in your souls. Try to get near to him. Ask him to bring you near in this sacrifice. Ask him to bless you in this sacrifice and to comfort you in this sacrifice. It will take away all the short things and make everything quite clear, accepted in the beloved. Now, may the Lord hear us and answer us. Clothe us with righteousness. Arm us with the whole armour of God. And when any plague breaks out, then may he direct us to this one place where plagues are stayed. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £840, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Charles Warboys will preach this evening, Mr. Robert Field on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. The collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Our friends at Oakington hope to hold their Thanksgiving service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1066. After that solemn searching sermon that we have heard, as we sing this, may we also sing it with the prayer, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways.
and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Hymn 1066. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see, and cast each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. Hymn 1066.
Give our every sin, as we ask it for Jesus Christ.